The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Scott?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Where's Scott?
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The federal government can do most anything in this country.
And let me say this to all of the chattering class. The American people really don't care.
Robert Scott Bell.
Where in the Constitution does it give you the authority?
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
Wow.
What's going on here?
This is scary.
Robert Scott Bell.
I personally feel that I've done nothing morally wrong.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. You know, do me a favor. Could you say senator instead of ma'am? I worked so hard to get that title.
Stop whining.
Liberals, I hate them so much.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
When I need a doctor here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, who do I call? Well, on Advanced Medicine Monday, of course, we know we always have Dr. Bitar, but occasionally, hey, you got to have him 7 days a week, you know, Dr. Nick Gonzalez returns right now, Advanced Medicine Monday, on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Dr. Nick, always a great honor, privilege, pleasure. You know it.
Well, it's so nice to be here with you, and I hope you're doing well after the last week's adventures.
Well, I'm man enough to admit that I pushed, or they say burned the candle on both ends with the events of last week, going up to do the Raw Milk Freedom Riders. I had great hospitality, but it was a very intense, you know, stress on the body as well as the emotions. I mean, I realized what we were doing there was quite historic. And I kind of the back of my mind, Dr. Nick, I thought, you know, I might pay for this. I might end up, you know, crashing a little bit. And I'm that way right now, a little bit of fever. But my perspective, as is yours most likely, I'm not suffering from a virological or a bacteriological problem. It's literally an exhaustion, whether it be adrenal, otherwise, or even maybe toxicological exposure over the past week, and emotional stress.
Oh, unquestionably, the body has three components. You know, the physical basis, which is the simplest, the psychological and the spiritual, and you were assaulted and involved in every way this week. Unquestionably, psychological and spiritual assaults, although often patients like to minimize that or people like to minimize that and think it's all a question of the magic drug or the magic nutrient. Those things are critical, and you just went through a lot this week. I mean, you're basically at the beginning of the second American Revolution, and it's always nervous. Believe me, the founding fathers, when they were first involved in the first American Revolution, were nervous and scared, and their lives were at stake, and there's no way to know how the FDA or the government officials were going to respond after the episode in California when they sent armed SWAT teams in to arrest people. You never know. So it was a courageous thing to do, but of course it's going to take a physical stress on you. What you need is, as I told you earlier, you need a day off and just rest. That's actually allowed. It's required in Scripture and something we avoid, but you should do that. And just take a day for yourself and do nothing. Don't speak to people like me. Avoid controversy. Take your kids out, enjoy the world, listen to the birds, enjoy the warm weather in Florida.
That's Dr. Nick, I enjoy talking to you so much. I'm uplifted when we interact. Like, I had Mike Adams on a little while back, and, you know, it's like you feel better, you feel stronger about, you know, people that you respect and admire, and they have great energy. At the same time, yes, I hear you, and that's why I want to share with it. Some people that do health shows will say, oh, I never get sick. It's like, no. The human experience is experience, and, you know, sometimes we push our adrenals or whatever, or experience without knowing it unconsciously, and we wonder, well, what happened? I am not at all under any illusion about what happened and why I'm a little low on energy today.
Oh, no, and nor should you ever feel the need to apologize. You know, I've been on my own program since I met the infamous Dr. Kelly in 1981. I've been on it 30 years, and yes, I eat organically. I do carrot juice. I take huge amounts of supplements, do coffee enemas, all the things I ask patients to do. But I'm always pushing myself to the limit. As I say to my patients every day, if I were not on my program, first I'd already be dead. But even doing that,
yes.
I'm under enormous stress. I work long days, 7 days a week, not only with patients, but I'm taking on the world and the government authorities and writing books. And all of that takes an enormous strain. And fortunately, good nutrition for you, for me, the remedies that you use, the remedies that I use, at least keep our body in fighting shape. And one of the best things that I always think about is our enemies, of course, don't believe in good nutrition, so they're not feeling too well, and that's part of their problem. They're just not in good shape. And I've had three of my strongest critics have now died of cancer. It's not that I publicly laugh about that.
Sure.
I may snicker occasionally in private, but they're just not in very good shape. And no wonder they don't think clearly. No wonder they hate the truth, because when the mind isn't fully nourished, it doesn't react the way it should. You don't think as clearly as you should, and you can't accept the truth the way you should.
Yeah, Mike Adams wrote recently about heavy metals and starting to really analyze people that are delusional, that don't even know that they're sick, and they're often, more often than not, in fact, contaminated with various different heavy metals. That's been a big part of my experience in healing in my own body, and the many, you know, hundreds if not thousands over the years of people that I've worked with and helped, that there was no person that I didn't meet that had some level of a metal burden in their system.
Well, the problem with heavy metals, we think of them as heavy metals like lumps of lead in the ground, but actually heavy metals can be aerosolized. You know, mercury, which is a terrible heavy metal, can be turned into vapor. You know, it's basically a liquid at room temperature. There's aluminum dust in the air pollution. Airplanes are giving off tons of aluminum each year. A lot of the piping in airplanes is aluminum because it's lightweight, and then there's the whole issue of the contrails and whether the government's spewing out aluminum to affect global warming. But all the heavy metals, cadmium, lead, we think of them as something that has to be in the groundwater and the food, but they're in the air as well. There's lead in the air in New York City. It gets turned into a dust and can be aerosolized. China's dumping aluminum to the air through its industrial processing. And they don't care too much about the environment over in China. It's all about growth. But the downside of that is they're spewing out tons of aluminum into the air. In the last few years, we've seen an epidemic increase in aluminum levels, particularly in my patients, even in patients who are long-term patients who never previously had a problem with aluminum. Suddenly, it's becoming an issue.
Yeah, and this is something that, as Mike was, you know, describing it, I thought it was, you know, uncanny in his, you know, awareness and leaps. And that's what I love about Mike. He's always exploring, always researching more areas, some areas we have been involved in for many years, but always bringing that to the people with information that is, you know, not bound into, let's say, a drug kind of protocol or a conflict of interest. And it's very hard. And I think that's a big reason why this show that we're on doing right now is growing so much, as well as Natural News. And the people that are learning about you, we'll also talk about a new book project that you have as well, are really, you know, making inroads and making a difference now.
Well, we hope so, and I think Natural News is doing a great job, and you and Mike Adams are to be commended for bringing so much great information about nutritional and alternative approaches and environmental issues to people's awareness. There's no other site on the internet that I don't turn to more than Natural News. I mean, it's just terrific, and you get the latest news up to date every day. I think it's a wonderful site, and you folks are doing a great job with that.
Thanks. It means a lot. Now, you know, going back to the starting point of today's show here, Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Nick Gonzalez, we were talking about the Raw Milk Freedom Riders last week. Now, my perspective on this was indeed, as Mike Adams says, historic, groundbreaking, literally a small group of moms changed the world. Now, it wasn't that the FDA changed its law, if it could. I mean, it's a bureaucratic oligarchy, as Jonathan Emord says. But the reality is they came on the record in response to this and said, we're not going to enforce the law, basically, if you're an individual. And that's a huge sea change. They claim it's, well, we've always done it that way. We know better. But here we talk about the second American Revolution. You have a perspective on this. Isn't it interesting? Food plays a role here.
Yeah, in the first American Revolution, it really began when the group up in Boston dumped tea into the Boston Harbor, and that was a food. They didn't want to pay the tax on tea. And here we have the second American Revolution beginning with a bunch of mothers that want to drink raw milk. So the first American Revolution really began the instigating incident was really the dumping of tea, which is a food. And here the instigating incident is the drinking of raw milk. It's interesting how food plays such an important role in our two revolutions. And believe me, this is a revolution. We're finally going to say no to bureaucracy. That bureaucracy isn't going to control our lives, that bureaucrats in Washington don't know how each of us should live better than we do, that we're willing to take risks. We're not trying to live in a risk-free environment that only creates more risks, actually. We don't need the FDA to tell us whether we can take a vitamin or not, or eat organic food or not, or take raw milk or not. We don't need them to do that. We're willing to do it as mature, intelligent adults in a republic, supposedly in a republic, where we have the freedom the freedom to make those choices, and we don't need them trying to protect us from ourselves. And that's what this maybe simple gathering of a couple hundred people this past week meant. Mm-hmm. And just as in Boston Harbor, it wasn't a huge group of people. And believe me, there's a lot of people in Boston who sided with the English. Yes. They didn't want anyone dumping tea into Boston Harbor. And a lot of people in Bethesda, Maryland, where the FDA is, who really happy drinking pasteurized milk, brainless and mindless, not aware of the dangers in that. But it only takes a small group of people with the truth to stand up to a bully to start an enormous trend. And that's what this has really done. And those mothers are really to be commended. It's like, to me, it's the second American Revolution, from tea to milk.
That's or a fascinating.
Tea with milk. Take milk with the tea. That's what they
should. Yes, exactly. Fascinating analogy. And also, interestingly enough, I mean, as the people dump tea, which is a food which doesn't pollute the environment, the government is endorsing through their EPA the polluting of the very environment we're talking about when I mentioned the heavy metals, the mercury emissions and things they claim to kind of prevent or diminish. But the reality is, with the movement on for this kind of global regulation, they'd have this cap and trade desire, which would allow these big multinationals to basically buy pollution credits.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of, like Al Gore. If you pollute the environment, all you have to do is buy pollution credits, and then you're able to continue polluting. How is that controlling the environment? It's just absolutely insane. Again, if you left it up to the free market, people would choose businesses that didn't pollute. They would be concerned about their health. They would choose organic food. And those that don't want to choose organic food, fine. Get heavy metals and your brain die young. Mm. It helps with population control. Mm. But the free market would be the best way to deal with even pollution. You know, it's interesting, for all the liberals talk about you need to have a government-controlled environment, the places where the government was biggest in control in Eastern Europe are the most polluted places on Earth, where the government was so incapable of controlling and regulating environmental deterioration. And the places with the most concern about that, of course, are the free market economies and the republic democracies like the U.S. That's where people have a right to express their belief that we want a clean environment. It's in the old, you know, Soviet Ukraine or wherever in the Eastern Europe, you couldn't express that, or you'd end up in prison in Siberia for the next 30 years.
Yes.
You know, the government knew best for everybody, and the end result is Eastern Europe is a polluted cesspool in many places.
Well, and we see this in China, although they've made interesting market reforms to some degree. But by and large, in a communist culture, there is a lot of ownership or total ownership of all of these things. The government was involved in every deal, and you can see the poisoning that's happened within China. And now, of course, there's a growing concern and movement, you know, as awareness is raised even there.
Yeah, it always amazes me when you see liberals who think the government has the capacity, the intelligence, and the ability to regulate anything, but particularly the environment. All we have to do, again, look at history. Liberals never, you know, they say conservatives are in the past. The trouble, again, as I've said on your show, liberals never look to the past. All we have to do is look at Eastern Europe or China. The most polluted, environmentally catastrophic areas in the world are in communist countries where there was big government who was supposed to be taking care of everybody for the benefit of everybody. And those are the places where we have the greatest environmental deterioration. It's places like America where people have a right to demand a cleaner environment, that it's being demanded, and businesses accordingly respond. And that's what you need. You need free market, not government control. Government can't do anything right. They just can't. You know, they can't run the post office. If they can't run the post office, they can't run health care, and they certainly can't run the environment, which is, you know, the 3-4-6-dimensional system is our ecology. And what government bureaucrat is capable of doing that? I'm amazed some of them can even get to their car and figure out how to drive home. And they're going to be running the environment? Are you kidding me?
I've heard it said.
They can't even run the post office, which is just basically putting a stamp on an envelope and delivering it somewhere.
No, I don't think they've been profitable there. Yeah. The you know, one of my mentors in this, you know, understanding the republic, the limited government, that one that really understands the foundations of common law as the origin of this country as a republic, you know, once said, yes, we love it, because he was from Colorado. He says, we love it when the EPA comes out and, you know, it tries to tell us how to manage our environment in Western Colorado. We say, here, we'll take them out. We'll leave them there. 24 hours later, they would not survive. They literally are incapable of surviving out there in the wilderness.
Yeah, nothing is more incapable than a bureaucrat. I mean, they live in this protected environment where they don't have to really work too hard or think too hard. They just have to sit around and create regulations for other people to live by. And yes, indeed, the EPA people would survive about 30 minutes in Western Colorado, I'm sure. You know, all it would take is a little chipmunk, and they'd be running to hide under the nearest log.
Well, and then they're telling the local people there, the ranchers, how to manage their land, protect their water. It's like, do you guys even know how to collect water? I mean, this is the stuff I've heard directly from those people out there. And some would say, oh, that's just an exaggeration, Robert. You just don't like government. Listen, our founders did not like government. They tolerated government. They wrote restrictions on the government, not the people, so that it would not grow into this mess that we're dealing with right now, which is why, you know, we are in the midst, as you say, the second American Revolution. It's very real. Started with a Tea Party. Now looks like a raw milk party. The warrior moms are leading us.
It's amazing. I just love it. You know, one of the things about government regulation of the environment, all you have to think of is look at the history of the Army Corps of Engineers. It's been $1 billion catastrophe after another. The reason why there's so much flooding in the Mississippi, even in New Orleans a few years ago, and last year alone in the West, is because of all these Army Corps of Engineer projects with the Mississippi River. They have absolutely no concept of how to manage the ecology. The way you manage the ecology is the way you manage an economy. You leave it alone and let it take care of itself. Nature was smarter than we were, and they've completely devastated, you know, the forests and tried to redirect the Mississippi. And the end result is you have this terribly unsuited, unsustainable river system that's going to lead to endless floods, billions mm-hmm. of dollars, trillions of dollars eventually in damages. The Colorado River, it's the same thing. The Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. government trying to regulate the Colorado River for the benefit of certain people. The end result is it's more harmful for other people. The government cannot regulate the environment. It's too vast, too complicated. Even the smartest ecologists wouldn't know how to regulate the environment.
What we're seeing, Dr. Nick, is this let's say acquiescence to government to pick winners and losers. And of course the winners are the ones who can lobby the hardest with the most money, and that leaves out the individuals who believe in liberty, who simply want to be left alone.
Yeah, the economy and economies and governments are really ecologies, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6 dimensional systems. And you tinker with one part, there are going to be 17 or 27 or 350 unintended consequences. And believe me, there's no one in Washington smart enough to know what those unintended consequences are. Like Solyndra is a perfect example of government malinvestment. When you leave it up to the free market, it's like an ecology. You know, Hillary Clinton said, well, it's Darwinian, it's survival of the fittest. But when you tinker with it, it's worse Darwinian, because everybody suffers. And not only that, when the government's gets bigger, not only do their projects fail, like Solyndra or the Mississippi River, courtesy of the Army Corps of Engineers, but we lose our liberty.
Yes.
So there's no benefit for anybody.
That's a critical point. We're going to take a quick break here on the Advanced Medicine Monday edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Dr. Nick Gonzalez, bless him, is my guest this entire hour. Then we'll be joined by Dr. Bitar. Always great to have you on board here. Check it out at Dr. Gonzalez. I've got it linked.com. Got it linked up at robertscottbell.com as well, naturalnewsradio.com, where most of you listen every day. Enter your email address. You'll get updates and alerts from the Robert Scott Bell Show. And of course, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll talk more about the raw milk revolution and all kinds of healing you won't hear anywhere else in media with Dr. Nick after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
The
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Continuing on with Dr. Nick Gonzalez here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Always, again, great honor, and I'm so grateful that you're here with me in a day where, you know, I came back from this trip, the Raw Milk Freedom Ride, and I knew, you know, as best of my ability, I would just try to rest, but I didn't, honestly. I really didn't, like I should have. And you know how it is, sometimes we're our own worst doctor, even though we know better, but we're driven. You know, Mike Adams and I talk about this, we laugh, and we're like, we're working almost 24/7, and we don't want to stop because we have what we perceive to be a very important mission, not to be haughty about it at all, but literally it's our passion, it's our reason for being, it's like breathing. Yet sometimes we need to be slapped around and go, hey, slow down, take a rest. Dr. Nick, you're helping me do just that.
Oh, yeah. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, my wife insisted, it was our 10th wedding anniversary, and she insisted I had to leave the office, and she was going to get armed guards to take me away. So I went down to Florida to Sanibel for a couple of days and just enjoyed it. And I wasn't supposedly allowed to work, though I did sneak it in on my laptop. But actually, I actually came back much rested. I, you know, got a lot of sleep done, and I felt better. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And again, it's a Bible injunction that we should rest one day a week. I don't do that. I work 7 days a week, as you do. But I figure one work day of me is worth about 100 work days of the average Washington bureaucrat, and I have to work them to death. Mm-hmm. I just have to outthink them and outwork them. And yes. You know, hopefully that's the way we'll survive. They may not, they may beat me, but at least we'll keep trying.
Yes. And, you know, it reminds me again of what Mike Adams did with that supplement that a lot of people in the raw food community had bought into, right? You read about that.
Yeah, sure.
And
did.
The heavy metals and such, and how literally within 24 to 36 hours, he had literally alerted almost the entire community around planet Earth about this. The FDA couldn't have done that in a year with a multi-million dollar sting operation. They still wouldn't have accomplished it.
Oh, they, it would have been worse. They'd have gone off at the wrong supplement. They'd have gone after something useful, right, not something useless. And one of the reasons I like Mike Adams, and this is a perfect example of how the free market works, you can read that information and you make your own decision. You could take that heavy metal lace stuff if you want to, or avoid it. And this is how beautiful the free market works. There's this misconception among bureaucrats that people are so stupid and morally corrupt that if left their own devices, they're all going to be eating each other for dinner. That's not what happens. Is that, you know, people want the best for themselves and in large part best for their communities and best for their families. And Mike Adams is a perfect example of that, where he did more than the FDA did. And he went after one of our own, you know, an alternative product supposedly that a lot of people support. And he went after them hook, line, and sinker. And boy, was it devastating. And he's not just going after the FDA and the raw milk opponents, but he's going after people within the community that are less than ethical and less than honorable. And for that, too, is to be commended. And I see that in him, and I really respect that.
Well, and we talk about the free market. People think about capitalism being the free market. It sort of is, but the free market is not what we've had because it's been crony capitalism. Jerry Doyle calls it crapitalism, where it's a managed economy, right? And here we've got the First Amendment. You see how much more effective it was at protecting the public if we had a free press, if Fox News, if MSNBC, if ABC, CBS, CNN were actually calling to carpet the danger of the drugs. And they sort of cover it, but they pay lip service because they realize on the other side, they're getting billions of dollars in ad revenue. So there's not a free market. They literally are beholden to their advertisers, unlike the way we are, as example with Mike. When he found out that one of these products was not a viable product, he had, you know, he was duty bound to do it as a free press would.
Yeah, and that product will live or die based on the free market, the way Von Mises would have said it. It rises and falls based on what people want, and that's the way it should work, not on what some bureaucrat thinks we should want. Mm-hmm. That's the trouble with bureaucracies. They make decisions about what we think we should want, as opposed to what we actually do want, and we'll make the decision with our own money to do what we want to do, buy the products we want to buy, and this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, and just as we talked about starting off today's Advanced Medicine show here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, the raw milk issue. I mean, the FDA continues to claim that it's dangerous, that nutritionally it's no better than pasteurized milk. And of course, we would acknowledge there were times in the past as agribusiness was starting to grow and get more urbanized that there were problems with milk production, which brought about the overreaction in the wrong way based on Pasteur's germ theory, right? Instead of, hey, what did we do here? Let's let these cows back out to pasture and watch the healthy milk return.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realize is the institution of pasteurization really was a response to what happened during the 1910, 1920 era in the U.S. For example, in New York, there were these mass dairies in Brooklyn, which is one of our boroughs, where the cows actually lived underground, never saw the light of day, were fed junk The milk was diluted with chalk. The animals were fed waste from the distilleries that were next door. The food was totally unsuitable for them. They were very sick animals, and their milk was unhealthy, of course, but that's not the way cows are supposed to live. You know, the answer to the raw milk thing, of course, is breast milk is raw milk. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard the FDA said breast milk is dangerous or shouldn't be drunk. In fact, all scientific studies 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and recently show the value of breast milk. Interestingly enough, when you cook breast milk, it loses a lot of its value. Not surprisingly, a lot of the nutrients in breast milk are heat sensitive. You know, all enzymes in food are generally destroyed above about 117 degrees Fahrenheit, and that includes the valuable enzymes in milk and the immunoglobulins. These things are neutralized at a fairly low temperature, and you heat it, and boy, you lose a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Breast milk is raw milk. Every mammal on Earth, mammals are defined as animals that produce milk. Every mammal feeds its young with, oh, horror of horrors, FDA raw milk. So there's kind of an illogic in their argument that raw milk is somehow – you listen to their argument, it's as if raw milk were inherently dangerous. Well, if that's so, why did the mammal survive, take over the earth based on feeding their young raw milk? I've never heard of any mammal that heats their breast up before they give them, before they suck their young.
Well, you know, it's
raw milk is the ultimate food for all mammals, and we rose to our penultimate position on Earth, you know, drinking raw milk for the first 6 months, year, 2 years. In their cultures where the kids are drinking raw milk from their moms for up to 2 to 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, in some cultures, you're right, that and some more. Now, some would say, Dr. Nick, that, you know, look, you wean off and then it's not necessarily appropriate as a food source. But, you know, listen, I found out that those few days that I was out of town, I was drinking more raw milk than I normally do. And I had energy. I was never hungry. And, you know, I got through a difficult time of, you know, pushing the candle on both ends till dark of night, well beyond it, into the crack of dawn and getting everything ready with all the stress and emotion. So there's obviously a medicinal nutritive value even in adulthood. Can you talk a little bit about the perspective there?
Yeah, first, the point that, you know, we're the only mammal that does drink or eat dairy products beyond babyhood. That's true. And there are, you know, thousands of species of mammals. But we're also the only mammal that talks. Does that mean, you know, we shouldn't talk? You know, it's a ludicrous argument. In fact, in biblical, like, I always go to the Bible because it's such a great store, repository of wisdom. Dairy products are mentioned there. Cows and goats who gave milk were esteemed animals. They're part of the Hebrew sacrifice at Solomon's temple. These animals were esteemed, and it was because of the dairy that they gave off. You know, Francis Pottinger, as you know, did a series of studies where he looked at the value of raw milk versus cooked milk, and this was in the 1930s and 40s, and he repeated these experiments over 10 years, and they're so simple that even a, you know, first-year graduate student could do it. You know, they're not difficult studies. He basically took groups of cats. Now, there were some complicated aspects of the study, but I'll simplify it. And basically, one group of cats, he fed nothing but raw milk and some raw meat, and the other group of cats, he fed nothing but cooked milk and cooked meat. And in the animals that were fed the raw milk and some raw meat, but it was basically raw milk diet, generation after generation of these cats were extremely healthy, had perfect dental structure, perfect bone structure, never had arthritis, no degenerative diseases. And yes, cats and dogs can get degenerative diseases like arthritis, cancer, diabetes, heart disease. They didn't get any of that. Their society structure was very cohesive. There was a leader, and they were a very calm, peaceful society. These animals seemed emotionally healthy, generation after generation. Of course, the animals that were fed the cooked food, it was a completely different scenario. Each generation would be weaker. Their bone structure would be deformed. They would have small bone structure in their mouth, crooked teeth, dental caries like humans, mm-hmm. poor vision, arthritis, cancer, diabetes, heart disease. Yes, all these degenerative diseases that we think of in humans. And it was interesting, after the fourth generation, the cats fed the cooked food couldn't reproduce anymore. They actually lost their reproductive viability. So there was a very simple experiment that conclusively, repeatedly, showed the extraordinary difference between something so simple as cooking milk, and he was basically cooking it the way he would to pasteurize it. Mm. And beyond the fourth generation, these animals couldn't even survive. The ones getting the raw milk survived in great health, and even their psychology was healthy. It's really, these are amazing studies. And there's actually a book from the Price-Pottinger Foundation called Pottinger's Cats, where they summarized these studies. He published this information in the mainstream medical literature at that time. You know, the Pottinger family was a very esteemed medical family. They come out of a very orthodox tradition. And this was a very interesting study covered in the medical literature, but it's like it's been forgotten.
Yes, certainly it was basically an upsetting of the organic raw apple cart to provide this nutrition-type information that would resolve so many ailments that were becoming very profitable during the 20th century as we, you know, decayed in our ideas of nutrition, and of course disease resulted. And we go back to the Flexner Report of 1910 that kind of set the stage, and then everything, you know, basically shot out, spoke from that Flexner Report.
Oh, yeah. The Flexner Report is one of the most damaging things in the history of medicine, as it will someday be looked upon. What's very interesting, horror of horrors, believe it or not, the esteemed Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, had a treatment called the milk treatment, where they would feed people with a variety of problems. This is in the 1930s, 1940s, even into the 1950s. Nothing but raw milk. Nothing but raw milk. I don't remember what it was, like a gallon or several quarts a day. And it was at the Mayo Clinic. It was known as the Mayo Clinic milk diet. And it was effective for all kinds of problems, what we would call today chronic fatigue, malaise, depression, arthritis, diabetes. And all they were feeding them was raw milk. They never used pasteurized milk. Believe me, it wouldn't have worked. So there's a long history of the value of raw milk compared to cooked milk that's really extraordinary. It's devastating in terms of the what's happening in terms of cooked milk and the negative health effect has. And, of course, there have even been changes in the way we pasteurize milk, as you know. Mm-hmm. Originally, pasteurization was 160 degrees Fahrenheit. It wasn't meant to boil the heck out of the stuff. You know, that's below boiling. But now they ultra-pasteurize. You see ultra-pasteurized, especially on these organic milk products. You look for the door and you just run because they're heating it to 230 degrees Fahrenheit. And that basically destroys everything.
That's a important point to make, Dr. Nick, because many people feel like they're doing better by having organic milk, but of course it is pasteurized. Oftentimes they reduce a lot of the fat, which is a benefit, by 2%, 1%, or skim, because we've been bred to be fat phobic in the American culture still. It's a disastrous idea, and we can talk about that more after this break. But also, I just want to mention this before we go to break. Stephen Hewer, a friend of mine, had sent me something to build on that cat study, that they actually did this with a calf. And they gave, you know, two calves, you know, one was given raw milk, one was given pasteurized milk, and it was just devastating, the healthy calf. And, of course, what you can imagine what the other calf looked like. It was horrific to see. So throughout nature, we see this repeated.
And if you want to see real disaster, there was a study done about 20 years ago with soy instead of milk, trying to raise calves on soy. Do we have time to get into that now, or do we have to break?
No, let's take a quick break here. Dr. Nick Gonzalez, my good friend, is on board here for Advanced Medicine Monday to kick things off. And, of course, dr-gonzalez.com. I've got the links at robertscottbell.com. Say thanks to all our wonderful sponsors here for helping support this message of health freedom as well through Natural News Radio. And thanks as well to Prepper Podcast Network. They understand the idea of prepping, if you will. And we got to do that as well at prepperpodcast.com. We'll continue to rock the health world with Dr. Nick Gonzalez after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
We continue now with Dr. Nick Gonzalez. I think Janet's going to be happy. I'm hardly talking this hour, Dr. Nick.
Well, I know you've had a rough week, so I'm trying to give you and your giving you and your voice a little bit of a rest, which is well deserved after this week's adventure. So,
I'm grateful.
Point me in the direction of a microphone, and I'll just start talking.
I love that. It's a wonderful thing, and the information you're bringing out is so valuable as well. And grateful that you're willing to share it with the audience here. And you know, we were talking about the issue of soy. A lot of controversies. We see certain Asian cultures do a higher soy content, but they typically ferment. Of course, and of course, now we see a lot of GMO contamination and pesticide contamination of the soy products that are out there. Otherwise, soy milks, a lot of them are produced in aluminum vats. We talked about heavy metals already. But what about any studies of raising, let's say, animals on soy in the 20th century?
Well, you were talking about raising calves on pasteurized milk. At least there was milk. But there was a study done in the U.S. where some agriculturalists got the idea to raise calves on soy because it was cheaper than milk. And then you can sell the milk to humans. And they put them on a diet of 40% soy, and the problem is all the calves died. And they did autopsies on them, and they found in each case the pancreas had basically atrophied. Now, one of the problems with soy, it has the Bowman-Burk inhibitor, which is one of the most powerful trypsin inhibitors on Earth. Trypsin is the main pancreatic enzyme that's required for the breakdown of proteins in digestion, but also, we believe, the main anti-cancer component in the body. Well, these calves died. The effect of soy was so poisonous on the calf pancreas that these animals just died of pancreatic failure. And it was published in an obscure agricultural journal, the kind of thing that only I would read, but it was an extraordinary study. It never got a lot of publicity. It was published about, you know, I guess about 1995 or 1997. It was a devastating study. Of course, you know, we're talking about raw milk. We talked about Pottinger's animal studies, but the Maasai are a human study in the value of raw milk. You know, the Maasai traditionally lived on nothing but raw milk and blood. They had their own herds of cattle, and that's what they lived on. And the average Maasai warrior would drink about a gallon of raw milk a day, and it was really a high-fat raw milk. It wasn't low-fat at all. And the Maasai were studied by Weston Price when he did his travels during the 1920s and 30s, but more recently they were studied by a contemporary physiologist and physician, George Mann, who works out of Vanderbilt University Medical School, which is a major medical center. And he spent a lot of time with the Maasai in the 1960s, and he found at that time they were still living their traditional diet of a gallon of raw milk and blood and some meat. And that's all they ate. They never ate fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and grains. Sorry, Pritikin. Sorry, Dean Ornish. Sorry, all those the pyramid from the Department of Agriculture. No fruits, no vegetables, no whole grains at all. Just milk, meat, and a lot of blood. It was 70% milk and was high fat. They never had heart disease, no atherosclerosis. They were healthy even into old age, and they had a very, very vigorous life. These were Maasai in Kenya. Yeah. And they would sometimes walk up to 30 miles a day tending their herds. And they were extremely healthy, no dental disease, no arthritis, cancer, diabetes, heart disease. Cancer was virtually unknown in the Maasai. So this idea from Colin Campbell that somehow milk is the enemy of mankind, the famed or infamous China study, it's a joke. All you have to do is, you know, read the literature, folks. Read about the Maasai. It's in the literature. It's in Weston Price's book. They lived on raw milk, and they were among the healthiest people on Earth. Weston Price had some photographs of these Maasai warriors living the traditional life. You can just see their body habitus. These guys were unbelievably strong, unbelievably healthy, no mental illness, none of the things we associate with Western life. And it was all raw milk. So the idea that, as per Colin Campbell, milk is some deadly poison, total absolute balderdash. And the idea that pasteurized milk. No Maasai on earth would try and keep their milk up. They would mm-hmm. never do that. They knew they didn't know the biochemistry, but they knew that sure. there were nutrients in milk that needed to be in the raw form and unheated. So the Maasai present one of the great human studies of the benefit and value of raw milk.
But
and
Dr. it's indisputable. Nick, aren't you just being mean to the grain vegetarian people?
And well-deserved.
you Come bet on. I Where's the nice guy? Where's Mr. Nice Guy?
Oh, there's no nice in me. Look, I'll tell you something. You know, one of the things about our program is, you know, and this is one of Kelly's, you know, Kelly was my mentor. Yes, everything good, bad, or indifferent you hear about Kelly is true. The guy was crazy. Okay, yeah, in his later years. The guy was thrown in jail, and he has a right to be crazy. But one of the interesting things about him is he realized, as we realized, that different humans need different diets. Now, we have patients we put on plant-based stuff. We never put any human on a vegetarian diet in my office, but a lot of our diets are largely plant-based. Some of them are like an Atkins diet. We have 10 basic diets, 90 variations. We agree that there are human groups that really do well on a plant-based diet. But there's nothing inherently wrong with raw milk. After all, as mammals, even the vegetarians, even Dean Ornish, his first food was raw milk. He may not like to acknowledge
it.
Pritikin hated milk. His first food was high-fat raw milk from his mom. And breast milk is not low-fat. It's loaded with cholesterol, folks. One of the highest sources of cholesterol is breast milk. That's because we need breast milk to grow. Our nerves cannot grow without cholesterol. The myelin sheath, which is the crux of all neurological activity, is made up predominantly of cholesterol. Without cholesterol, infants' brains can't develop. Mm-hmm. The idea of raising kids on low cholesterol soy milk, boy, that's an invitation for disaster. I wonder what it's doing to their IQs.
I met a number of moms on the Raw Milk Freedom Ride last week that told me personal stories of themselves or their children that had serious gut damage or issues, some from vaccines, others from antibiotics, others unknown, you know, they weren't sure. But when they got their children back on raw milk, they were amazingly dramatic. Granted, they're anecdotal, but at the same point, you know, observation is the basis of science, that were confirming that indeed it was very helpful and allergies in many cases went away as well.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, my phone's ringing in the background. Sorry about that. Yeah, there's no question that raw milk has a healing effect on the gut, and a lot of gut problems, particularly allergy, leaky gut, all these things, are the result of our, you know, antibiotics and that kind of thing. And these problems can be healed by raw milk. Raw milk has many immune-enhancing elements in it. After all, it's whatever mammal species you're talking about, the infant is not capable of producing its own antibodies. It gets them all through the milk. And the milk there are hundreds of immune enhancers and immune stimulants in raw milk, which are destroyed when you heat the milk. Mm-hmm. And that's how we generate our own immune system. Actually, initially, we're protected from these immunoglobulins and immune enhancers in the mother's milk. And then eventually, over a period of months and months, we start developing the capability to produce these factors ourselves. But initially, it all comes from the milk. Mm-hmm. And those healing factors, even when we're older, can have a profound effect on a disabled gut, particularly on a disabled gut. It helps all our systems, but the gut is particularly sensitive to the effects, the good effects, the beneficial effects of raw milk.
Yeah, my producer, Don, is telling me we got a call from some Canadian listeners about gut healing, and I thought we'd give a listen and see where this thing goes here. Stand by, and let's see if I can run it. I'm not Mr. Producer here, so.
Hi, Robert. My name is Faye, and I'm a Canadian listener. I wanted to thank you for the great health tips, like your Sovereign Silver and Aloe Vera Juice Protocol, which helped me recover from years of gut health challenges. This is great information that I couldn't find anywhere else. Thank you so much.
Well, isn't that interesting? I mean, this is something, you know, people, when I studied about raw milk or you know, and other things, I found that milk has a high content of silver naturally occurring. It's not like you're taking a straight colloidal or silver hydrosol. But at the same point, milk is one of those things that contains a lot of trace elements and minerals. And silver has gotten a bad rap because it's mostly done in the wrong form. We use silver in medicine for healing tissue, epithelial tissue. So it makes sense to me why that could help people reduce inflammation, accelerate tissue regrowth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was not aware about the silver content in milk, but it makes sense because all the trace minerals necessary for life are in milk, as Pottinger showed, you know, 80 years ago. All the nutrients we need to live on are in milk, and the Maasai essentially lived on milk, and they survived, you know, through their adult life in great health. So raw milk is an extraordinary, complicated and interesting substance. Pasteurized milk is basically like dead leather. You might as well eat your shoe for all the benefits you're going to get out of it. But unquestionably, Raw milk, as you suggest, has an enormous effect on immune function, on healing the gut, on epithelial function, on leaky gut, and all those things. And even milk allergies, which are so common now, well, the reason people are so allergic to milk is because pasteurized, homogenized, ultra-pasteurized milk heated to 230 degrees, all the proteins are denatured. These are not normal proteins. Of course, the body's going to react abnormally to them. And you can't subsist on that stuff, as Pottinger proved. Whereas in raw milk, you get a completely different effect. It's a completely different substance. So, yes, I mean, what happened this week is extremely important, because a life-giving food was being defended in the good old American tradition of stand up and be counted mm-hmm. and take on the moronic bureaucrats.
Yeah, wonderful. Come and do it. Reminds me of my friends at the 10th Amendment Center, and they have, you know, a series of these events called Nullify Now, based on the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, that, you know, those things that are not explicitly provided for in the Constitution as far as a federal government to do, right? We restrict the government. Constitution was about restricting the federal government, and enumerated powers were listed. That which was not listed there, of course, was reserved to the states or the people, respectively. And these women really did. They understood that concept, as Thomas Jefferson and James Madison wrote about in the Kentucky Resolutions, etc., and the Virginia Resolutions, I believe, as well. And they actually lived up and said, come and get us. We are not playing by your rules. Your rules not only stink, they're unconstitutional. And look, the FDA flinched.
You know what I find so sad, and here I'm speaking to scientists, you know, even to the people at the FDA, I'm sure in their hearts they mean well, but the stuff we're talking about isn't something we made up, or this is some idea I have because I'm crazy. It's out of the medical literature. Pottinger has a book which anybody can read. You can get it on Amazon, Pottinger's Cats. This is the stuff on the Maasai or the soy and the calves. This is all in the scientific literature. It's not something that was just made up by you or me for the benefit of the show or your listeners, but they seem to be completely unaware of it. It's almost like a religious fanaticism that somehow raw milk is dangerous and pasteurized, ultra-pasteurized is the same thing. What scientific evidence shows that pasteurized milk has the same health benefits as raw milk? Give me the citation.
Doesn't exist.
I'd be happy to look it up, but it doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist. And even Sally Fallon Morrell, you know, when I was there, I interviewed her at the event, and she said, you know, sometimes we have to wait for the old people to die at FDA, because the younger crop of so-called scientists or whatever are more open to this and reviewing things that the old crew that had basically bought and sold a perspective had long since given up on.
Well, I'm glad Sally's so optimistic. That would be wonderful. In my experience in dealing with government bureaucrats, I'm not sure the younger people are brighter, smarter, or more aware of the evidence. Although some of them are, and I guess some of them, you know, they're concerned about their own health. Nothing makes you more interested in nutrition than if you're concerned about your own health. But a lot of it may be misguided. You know, government recommendations allowing soy to be raw milk is dangerous. Soy is called a health food. Based on what evidence? The evidence for soy is devastating when you actually look at it.
Well, listen, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, I want to take a break so we have time to follow up on the last segment of this hour of the Advanced Medicine Monday segments of the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I want to talk to you about your latest project. This book is like a labor of love, and we want to let that out with the whatever time we have left here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Say thanks to all our sponsors. We're coming right back with more of Dr. Nick Gonzalez.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One-Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One-Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs, and get free shipping on all products ordered. One-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Wrapping up the first hour, I don't want to let him go, but of course we've got Dr. Bitar, who's a real champion for health freedom as well, and he'll be coming up next hour with us on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Advanced Medicine Monday. But Dr. Nick Gonzalez, you have been a prolific writer, researcher, etc., and you know you have books out there. We've talked about them before. What is this latest project that you're almost completed?
Yeah, prolific is right. Point me in the direction of a microphone, I start talking. Point me in the direction of a keyboard, I start typing. It's just kind of instinctive or genetic. Yeah, I'm finally finishing. You've heard me talk about this for years. In fact, you're in the book, as I've said, and you're a major player in the book for a number of reasons. This is the book entitled "What Went Wrong: The Truth Behind Our NCI Clinical Study." You know, if you go on the internet, all kinds of things said about our NCI clinical study, from it proves Gonzalez's stuff doesn't work to what really did happen. Everybody's been waiting with bated breath in the alternative world for me to make a statement. Well, there's stuff on our website about it, but we've been working on this book. I've been working on this book with Dr. Isaac's help for about the last 2.5 years. And, you know, I have a full patient load, so it's been a real tough investigative journalism thing because I'm basically taking on the NIH and the NCI, and well-deserved they need to be taken on.
Yes.
And this was the story of the NCI-supported clinical study that was supposedly set up to fairly evaluate my therapy versus chemo in the treatment of patients with advanced pancreatic cancer. And actually, the first beginnings of the study date back to 1997, and you kind of lived through that with me. It's like a 10-year hellsome experience.
It was amazing.
Just,
really.
Undermining at every step through the bureaucracy and cover-up of mismanagement, and then as cover-up. And, of course, as you know from your HIV nivirapine experience with Dr. Fishbein, the cover-up of mismanagement is always about 10 times more egregious than the actual mismanagement itself. And that's what we dealt with. And what I began to realize is anyone out there naive enough to believe that there's a new generation of people, the NIH and the NCI, and there's a new openness, and there's going to be this meeting of minds between the alternative and the conventional and the standard and the status quo and the new innovative therapies, forget it. It doesn't exist. They're as entrenched as ever before. And they really are so tied into the drug model, they just instinctively, genetically, emotionally, spiritually, philosophically, just cannot accept that somehow a nutritional therapy can be useful against cancer. They just can't accept it. And their way of handling this situation was that there's no way my therapy could work. So even when we first started having patients that responded initially, I guess that was the warning sign. And
they had to sabotage it. I mean, look,
well,
a lot
was basically sabotage. And that's a tricky word legally to use, but that's what basically happened. The book will certainly show that. Whether through deliberate intent or through just lack of competence, it was undermined at every step. And it's and the cover-up went right up to the heads of the NIH, and we really detail this, and we really go into this in great, great detail. And it's taken 2.5 years to do because every fact has to be documented. I have to send it to a libel lawyer in Washington, D.C. I spent 3 months going over every single sentence to make sure that everything was accurate and that I wasn't saying anything reckless. I don't need to say anything reckless. It's all there. They basically undermined it at every step. You know, the basic thing they did just to make sure that our therapy would not prove to be valuable is they sent patients to – we had nothing to do with the acceptance of patients into the study. We were told that would involve a bias. So the chief investigator at Columbia University, which ran the study, was put in charge of the entrance of all patients. Well, first of all, it turned out he helped develop the chemo regimen that was being used against us, and that was a conflict of interest that I had to discover.
Right.
None of the esteemed investigators, the NCI and NIH, told me about that. But what he did, he sent us patients that were so sick we would never ethically have even tried to treat them in our private practice. People that were so sick they died before they got their supplements. That way they could never take a supplement, but they had an intent to treat rule in the protocol, which we argued against. That meant any patient who was accepted into the study, the minute they were accepted, they were considered treated, even if they never took a supplement. So we had a whole group of patients. In fact, 80, I would say, out of 39 patients entered, 30 of them really never did or did it very briefly of the therapy, yet they're all considered Gonzalez treatment failures. And these were patients we would never, ever have tried to treat in our private practice. The other thing that happened is patients had to be admitted for treatment within 8 weeks of their biopsy because, you know, this is pancreatic cancer. The average survival can be 2 or 3 months. So they had to be entered within 8 weeks. And even 8 weeks, I thought, was a little bit too liberal. They should have been entered pretty quickly. But the chief investigator would let these patients wait sometimes 5 weeks, 6 weeks before approving them into the study. Meanwhile, they're getting no treatment and they're waiting for the decision from Columbia. And we had patient after patient that were weeks past before they were actually given their decision about their eligibility. And by that time, their clinical status had changed completely and they deteriorated. And meanwhile, they're not allowed to do any treatment if they want to become part of the program. So there were just events like that that
callous.
Just made it absolutely impossible for this to be a legitimate, accurate, fair evaluation of my treatment. But they felt, because we're alternative, no one's going to care and no one's going to take me seriously. And that's their mistake. As you know, we've discussed it on your show, we did file complaints with the government regulatory agencies like the Office of Human Research Protections. And as biased as they may have been against me because I'm alternative, therefore I'm wrong by definition, they found that indeed 42 out of 62 patients admitted into the study were improperly admitted. But they still allowed him to publish an article saying my therapy doesn't work, even with that. In that article,
amazing.
He doesn't even mention the government findings that 42 out of 62 patients were inappropriate admissions. So this is all going to be in the book. It's all out there. Now, I know you keep – we have something to say, and I keep talking. That's the way I am. So I'll shut up and let you ask your question.
No, I just wanted to reference for the listening audience that believes someone like Columbia, these Ivy League schools, are beyond reproach because they're Ivy League. They're very much invested in certain outcomes. And I think that's a big part of the revelations in what happened to you and what we had gone through somewhat together as we were talking about this as it was happening years ago.
Well, and just as I was writing the last chapters of the book, there was a big scandal at Columbia in a completely different division from where I was working. It was the Kretschmann PET Center. Now, Columbia is internationally known for its research into PET scans. PET scans are the newest generation of radiographic studies in which they inject a radioactive glucose dye that is selectively taken up by hypermetabolic tissues, such as the tissues in the brain, or by cancer cells. So it's probably the most effective way of assessing whether there's cancer or not, or where it is, or how much, or how extensive it is. The problem is you have to use a radioactive dye. I don't remember the year. I think it was about 2006. The FDA found that Columbia, because the FDA regulates these kind of institutions and centers, they were using impure dye with terribly toxic levels of materials in them, injecting into patients, and they told Columbia to clean up your act. And they were involved with research studies, which is that's really the reason why the FDA got involved. Well, eventually, the problem was not resolved. The FDA convened an unannounced raid on the Columbia Kretschmann PET Center where they took computer documents. It turned out that the Columbia team had tried to cover up the mismanagement right up the managerial chain. And this actually came out in the New York Times just as I was finishing my study. It was another example of egregious mismanagement.
Incredible.
Falsification of records at an esteemed Ivy League medical center. It's just absolutely incomprehensible to me. I mean, I was never naive about this thing, but I never, ever would have expected to
how
see
bad
what
it
I
was.
Saw in my study.
Yeah, well, I anxiously await the publication of this book. Certainly, we'll talk more about it when it officially comes out, Dr. Nick Gonzalez. And again, you're amazing and your willingness to go on the record to fight where it is appropriate to do so very much does well by those who have also stood up, those the founding fathers as well as the mothers, now part of the second revolution that we talked about as far as this raw milk.
Yeah, our original founding fathers and our more recent raw milk mothers are – this is the example for all of us. That's what makes America so unique. Our founding fathers stood up to the greatness of England and said, no, we're not going to take it anymore. Come kill us if you want. And the English did try to kill them, but we survived.
We did.
And out of honor to them, we need to honor – their risks that they took for us so we could lead this wonderful life, even though it's being threatened, that we could lead this wonderful life. And we must, all of us, each of us in our own way, stand up to the bureaucracies and demand our freedom and liberty. Well, we need to do it. And that's why these Royal Mail people and you going down there last week are to be commended again. And I want to end this the way we started. You'd be commended for what you did. We have to honor our founding fathers, take the risks that are involved with this. Mm-hmm. And publishing this book is a risk for me, but it has to be done. The truth has to go out. And hopefully, this will really show the world. And I'm not this is not said in an egotistical way, but just having lived through this and seen what's there. I was living in a cave and I just hated conventional medicine. I was in the belly of the beast right up to the heads of these institutions.
Yes, you were.
And they need to be, and this institutional medicine needs to be shown for what it is.
It does.
And
but
hopefully
with,
the book will show that.
And with that, we're about beyond out of time, but we're going to extend it right to the edge here with Dr. Nick Gonzalez. So grateful that you would join in. I feel better already. I'm going to kick it upstairs a little bit with Dr. Bitar and hold it together. And thanks to Dr. Nick for getting me through the first hour of Advanced Medicine Monday. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show, where we simply remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to
wake up!
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
You want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath? No. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Advanced Medicine Monday continues with Dr. Rashid Bitar while Robert Scott Bell is on injured reserve this hour. Dr. Bitar, so glad to have you on board here. And, I'm going to lean on you this hour, so Janet's going to be real happy. I'm not going to say much.
Well, you've gone through a very interesting and most likely a very historical experience.
Yeah, this past week has been amazing with that trip up to Washington, D.C. to hang out with the Raw Milk Freedom Riders. And really, it just, sometimes you do these events that you push it and you push it and you push it and you hold it off as long as you can physically, emotionally. And then there's a point where you're just like, okay, I can't hold it off anymore. And I knew that was coming. I knew a crash was coming. And I'm just like, ow. So here I am.
Well, the adrenal glands, are firing hard. And then you almost go through like a cortisol withdrawal. And the system goes into the recovery phase. It's kind of like the flight-fight response. You're in it for a couple of days, and then the body needs to recover, and you feel that exhaustion. So, but, I think it's important that everybody on the show also knows that the FDA actually issued that statement that you told me about, the press release.
Yeah, really was amazing. If you think about it, a number of just moms, honest to God, just these wonderful moms that care about their family, they take care of their family and their kids, literally, contacted the FDA and said, here we are, we're going to Pennsylvania, we're going to a farmer, we're going to pick up lots of raw milk, we're going to bring it back across state lines to Maryland, to the steps or the pearly gates that are not so pearly of the FDA, and we're going to drink it and we're going to give it out. And come and get us. We know it's against your law, but we are going to do this. And, you know, they could have been arrested, but the FDA, they budged, they blinked. They said, no, we're not going to arrest you. We never intended to arrest you, right? What does that say about the power of individuals, of the power of warrior moms?
Absolutely. And I think it also sets a phenomenal precedence too now, because there's really nothing that they can do, because if they do prosecute anybody in the future, it would be selective prosecution. It would be them arbitrarily deciding who they're going to go after and who they're not, which now brings up another huge case. You know, how are they segregating people? Is it based upon their nationality, their religious belief, their ethnic origin? So I think they've created a huge problem for themselves, because they can't really go against anybody now for transporting raw milk across state lines in the future.
Yeah, it really put them in a bit of a pickle, so to speak. But yet their other option, I mean, these women really cornered the FDA. Their other option was to arrest moms. And how would that have looked on the national news? FDA arrest moms for transporting raw milk for their families, you know, across state lines. They were really cornered in a very efficient way. If you talk about the art of war, I'm thinking these moms knew the art of war front and back with what they did.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was a great blow for the against the FDA and a great positive for the movement for doing things the way people intuitively feel and believe and have for literally decades. This is something, you know, raw milk, for God's sake. This isn't like some type of a toxic substance that's going to cause people to die. It's something that's inherently our nation was built upon. In fact, you know, pretty much every pioneering nation people had to live off the land. They had to sow what they reaped in the grains and the various vegetables and produce. They had to raise animals for meat and for milk. And there was no pasteurization. There was none of this other components that we are now mandating on the entire population of the United States. And some other countries are now following the same type of archaic thought process of controlling everything. But raw milk is a fundamental basis of what humans have consumed for literally thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah, whether it be from yaks or goats or, you know, cows.
Or exactly, from any livestock, domesticated livestock.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the I was talking to Dr. Nick Gonzalez last hour about this, and he had one of the funniest things that he said, because some people say, well, human mammals are weird because they're the only mammal species that drinks milk after weaning. And he says, well, human mammals are the only mammal species that talks too. Should we just stop talking?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was a great comment, because this brings up, I've heard in the past that some doctor, I don't remember who it was, somebody prominent in the field, though, made the same type of comment that humans are the only species that consume milk from another species, and that that's not natural, that if humans want to consume milk, they need to find themselves a lactating human female. Now, you know, the thought process there, everybody laughed about that, and of course, you know, there were a lot of people that said, hey, I have no problem with that, you know, lactating human female. But the component that came back, though, was that for tens of centuries, I mean, thousands of years, humans have consumed milk from other species, but the problem isn't the consumption of milk from a different species. The problem is now, in the last 50 years, 75 years, what we've done to that milk,
right,
that we consume from another species. It's actually, again, a man-made problem that we've created. And, you know, Pottinger's study with the cats, that brings it all very, very clearly to the forefront. And Robert, you know which I'm going to talk about, Pottinger's study with the cats?
Oh, yeah. In fact, Dr. Nick brought it up as well last hour. It's, you know, you guys are on the same page here in this, where you observe these nutritional deficiencies over time by feeding pasteurized milk to animals and see what degrades over generations very rapidly. Even one generation, you see significant diseases coming about.
It's not just the diseases. I mean, within three or four generations of these cats, the one group being fed pasteurized milk, the other one being fed raw milk and raw meat, even the antisocial aspects, the aggressiveness in these animals that were being fed the pasteurized milk, it was amazing. Not just the chronic disease and the heart disease, the diabetes and such, and arthritic conditions, but just the antisocialness, the aggressiveness, the breakdown of the social order all those things were seen and observed only in the group that was being fed the pasteurized milk and the cooked food.
Well, we really come back to this is so rooted in common sense, and that's the beauty. With all the schooling that you have, Dr. Bitar and Dr. Nick, and you know the studies I've done, we get back down to it. It's the simple understanding. It's the stuff that if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And I always encourage people to not discount their own intuition, their connection to the source of all sources for not being intimidated by these so-called white lab coats or the docs that believe in vaccines and get angry with parents that are questioning them and things like that. We're really trying to encourage people to stay grounded, like these raw milk moms who said, listen, that's the monster there. They could wipe us out, you know, with a snap, but we have to do what we have to do for our families. And they did it, and they were successful.
And as with, I think, any obstacle that you have to deal with in life, if you go in with certainty, and if you go in with pureness of heart, and if you go in with that you're willing to pay whatever the consequences are, you will always ultimately be the winner. And I think this is another example of that, the David and Goliath type story.
Yeah, it's the raw milk revolution, starting like the Tea Party. Now we're not dumping milk or tea, we're actually drinking it and causing, I think, a lot of people to start questioning how powerful is that multi-billion-dollar agency, much less the rest of the federal government, in the pretense that they own and control everything and that you have to literally beg for a little scrap. And where we're seeing economically the massive collapse, are we looking to solve the problem with the same people that created the problem?
And there's no way that you can do that. The thought process that you can create a solution to a problem when there's that same thought process that created the problem in the first place, it'll never work. That's the definition of insanity, according to Einstein, to do the same thing and expect different results. Well, the people that created this issue, they're the same ones that are trying to solve the problems, and they can't solve the problems because their mindset is still of the original. I mean, they're the ones that created the regulation in the first place. You know, it's one of those types of scenarios when I was talking to the AMSPA group of doctors that came through, I think it was the third or maybe the fourth course that we taught.
Yeah, tell everybody what the AMSPA is. I don't want to assume everybody remembers that.
Sure. AMSPA is Advanced Medical Education and Services Physician Association, and it's the training program that I have set up for doctors and the association has set up for doctors that have come through my methodologies of treating, addressing the seven toxicities, dealing with the three foundations of health, and using our various protocols for treating chronic disease, especially autism, cancer, and heart disease. But I think it was the fourth course that I was teaching, and we had this discussion what a pediatrician that's been advocating the use of vaccinations throughout his entire career, when he finally comes to the realization that the one thing that he's been advocating very vehemently, which is that use of vaccinations, has actually caused more destruction and more demise to his patients long term than pretty much anything that he could have done. And the realization all of a sudden, had I not been born, I would have done more for mankind than, obviously, most doctors that go into pediatrics, I mean, they've got to be very caring people and they're dealing with children. But they said that's a very difficult thing for a person to come to a realization that had I not been alive, I would have done more for mankind, especially for somebody who genuinely strives to want to do better for people. And most people can't handle that type of realization. And that's one reason they continue to push the same agenda, because the light is too bright and they can't stand it, so they prefer to stay in that darkness. And for the few that do come out into the light, it changes them forever. It changes them personally, changes them professionally. And they'll never think of things the same way. Their entire thought process has to undergo a metamorphosis, so that they realize and they question themselves next time when they have some belief that they've bought into based upon what they've been told. They're going to question, say, is there validity to this? They're going to start thinking for themselves, as opposed to blindly following the status quo, which obviously in the case of the vaccinations, we know it's probably the worst thing that's ever happened in recorded history to mankind.
Yeah, it really is stunning, too, that there are a lot, you say, the doctors that want to remain in the dark, they're actually publishing, opinions in the medical journals that we should eliminate personal belief exemptions to vaccine mandates. Here's a story I've linked up at the show notes at robertscottbell.com. This was written by John D. Lantos, Marianne Jackson, and Christopher J. Harrison, and it's in the Journal of Health Politics and Policy Law. And they say they argue that personal belief exemptions to the mandate for childhood immunization should not be allowed. I mean, this is amazing. These people have chosen the darkness no matter what.
Well, I think that when you look at the population as a whole, let's talk about physicians. If you look at the physician population as a whole, I would say that probably 90% of them, as with probably anybody in any industry or any sector, probably 90% of them genuinely have a desire to want to do the best thing. But I think that about 10% of them probably are very evil, motivated by the wrong things, trying to do the worst possible that they can, not because of their desire necessarily to want to do evil, but because their personal agendas, whatever it be, financial, or they don't care about the end result or who gets hurt. So I think these people that are publishing these studies, or people that are behind the publishing of these studies, that are giving the order per se to, you know, to their underlings to go ahead and do these studies, I think that those are the people that we have to question. I don't think that everybody's like that. I think the vast majority of people do want to do the right thing. But, you know, the vast majority is the herd. It's not the ones that are coercing the herd in the direction to move.
Right.
Those that are coercing the herd to move in certain directions, either they're positively motivated or they're negatively motivated. And then that gets into our original discussion that we've had numerous times, Robert, the difference between light and dark, bad and good, evil and good. So
yeah,
it's
we had a fascinating discussion last week on Advanced Medicine Monday, Dr. Batar, when we kind of go into all of these areas, and I just love it. I mean, we really distinguish between religious and spiritual, right? Religiosity and spirituality, if you will. And that was fascinating too. And you know, this is the kind of thing when I look at these women, the raw milk freedom warriors. I mean, they have chosen, I think, a spiritual path. That, you know, sovereignty, if you will, that is a birthright that comes from the Creator, not from government, to say, I have a right and an obligation to take care of my family, and no government can get in the way of me and my child. And that is a good thing, even though millions of Americans are still asleep and cowering in fear over this issue. These women have stood up and showed us how it can be done.
Yeah, you know, the more we do this show, Robert, and each week passes on, and the years add on. I remember 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there were comments and things you'd hear people say that this is interesting. What would our forefathers have said about this? And this is somewhat reminiscent of what we went through, you know, as a country 200, 250 years ago. And now each week almost seems like new and new challenges that come up, and it becomes closer and closer to the same type of extreme emotion and extreme situations that people had to deal with 250 years ago when the United States formed, when the revolution took place. And it seems like it's all coming kind of like a crescendo, like a volcano, almost building that pressure up. And you hear this on every sector, from like the raw milk stuff that you're talking about, the vaccination stuff. And this is just in the health industry. Let's look at health insurance, and let's look at going into the financial sector and right. The real estate and the interest rates are dropping, and the value of properties dropping, and the increase in taxation, and all these different things. And then you've got people like Ron Paul that are running, and the media trying to divert the attention to things that are less important, trying to take away the importance of what he's talking about. And yeah. So you start seeing this plethora of indicators that are, I'm sure, something that historically our forefathers saw a couple of hundred years ago. Sure. And if you believe that history always repeats itself, which I believe that's true, and I think that's the reason that one should study history, is to learn from what the mistakes were so that we don't make the same mistakes, which clearly those that are running the country right now have not studied history and not looked at this.
No, they're very low on the survival scale, low in consciousness, because they literally ignore history, pretend it doesn't happen, and think that, oh, they somehow could do it better, even though it's the same mistakes. Listen, we got to take a break here, kicking it off, second hour of the Advanced Medicine Monday show with Dr. Rashid Batar. I sure hope that you've gotten his wonderful best-selling book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. I have those linked up at robertscottbell.com, as well as through the daily updates that you get through naturalnewsradio.com. If you haven't signed up for email alerts there, please do. The number is 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2344. 855. We're going to talk a little bit more about vaccines and flu, an interesting report that just came out in Natural News talking about the real reason people were dying from H1N1 back in 2009 after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Continuing on with our discussions with Dr. Rashi Bittar, always a great time we have together, Dr. Bittar, and I'm asking to pull the load today, and you're doing a wonderful job, which I knew you would, as I'm just recovering from my exhaustion and adrenal burnout, etc., and this is something we can all learn from, but sometimes we decide, hey, we've got to charge forward, it's that important, and we're going to be willing, like you said, to pay the price, and I know, I knew I was, but it was worth it to cover that event and to show people what is possible so that we can wake up those that are enslaved by fear. And one of the fears, Dr. Bittar, is about the seasonal flu. That still plays out there pretty strongly, although I think they're losing the battle, the flu shot propagandists. And there was an interesting story that came out on Natural News this morning about the H1N1. Remember the 2009 scare that they had?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and they're saying now that the deaths of children were not actually caused by the flu, because this is the way they've always said, oh, wait, this one's bad because children are dying. They're otherwise healthy, right? And, of course, we always talk about the circumstances of the health that is not really healthy, but they don't cover it. But it turns out that Boston Children's Hospital have found that it wasn't the H1N1 so much as it was the methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. Look at that. MRSA reared its ugly head in 2009.
Which is not difficult to believe at all. And I think we covered this previously also, Robert, a couple of weeks ago when, or perhaps it was longer, the weeks and the months kind of roll into one for me.
But yes.
The story that was covered by, I believe it was the Los Angeles Times, that made a big stink about 64 cases of H1N1 deaths in Los Angeles County, but that the mainstream media didn't pick up on it, or except for the Los Angeles Times. And they were trying to ask, why was this story not covered? The world needs to know about this. And then all of a sudden, that story went dead. Nobody talked about it. You couldn't find anything on the internet about it. You could do a search. Nothing was there. And the reason that this story was killed and the Los Angeles Times no longer covered it and you couldn't find it anywhere was because those 64 cases of documented H1N1 deaths, by the way, they were validated. In other words, they did die from H1N1. But what was interesting was that those 64 people that died of H1N1 were 64 people that actually got the vaccine. That was those are the people that were supposed to be, compared to the rest of the world's population, protected. That's the whole reason for giving somebody an H1N1 vaccine, to prevent them from dying. Yet all 64 deaths confirmed by H1N1 causation, the pathology confirmed, the workup confirmed that they died from H1N1, had all received the one thing that was supposed to prevent them from dying from H1N1, the H1N1 vaccine.
Isn't that the reason that they had to shut that story down and not cover it?
Absolutely, because that would have caused already the mass exodus from the vaccine thought process. In fact, do you know that there were two nursing associations that filed lawsuits and went all the way to the Supreme Court saying that they didn't think it was right for them to have to submit to taking the H1N1 vaccine? And even Obama was on air, if you remember, around that winter, talked about 20% of the U.S. population, 60 million Americans, they estimated were going to die from H1N1. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing thing. We were covering it almost every week.
Yeah. And so, and all of a sudden, you know, why do you think that all these people didn't die? Well, there's a reason they didn't die, because they didn't take the H1N1 vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were people that were laughing about this. I remember I was traveling, and in the airport, people were watching this on the news, laughing about it, saying, this is so ridiculous. And they just refused to take the H1N1 vaccine. They were, the German government, 97% of the German population refused to take the vaccine, even though the government was going to subsidize and pay for it. They refused. So why were people refusing this? Why were people in mass refusing to take this vaccine despite the fear-mongering that was going on? I think, again, it comes back to what we've talked about before. More awareness intuitively being guided, and the universal consciousness increasing, and people just refusing to take this vaccine. And here's the sad truth. Had the population believed the propaganda, I believe that 20% of the U.S. population would have died.
Well, based on that one report of the 64 deaths, and all of them, 100% of them, had been given the H1N1 vaccine,
exactly.
That's not unreasonable to say that. It's horrific to consider it. But, you know, most of these things, like the, you know, the latest movie that they were doing came out, I don't know, a month or so ago about a pandemic flu, you know, all really promoted the vaccine agenda.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And they're getting desperate, and everything from Hollywood to, you know, like you said, this ethics committee or whatever it was from Duke University that is talking about, or did we didn't even bring that up. We just talked about that.
Yeah, you mentioned that briefly, that they had come out with a, I don't know if it's a study, but it's an opinion piece. It's kind of interesting. In the, let's see, what journal is this? The published online, the Journal of Health Politics, Policy, and Law. Mm. And so these authors have basically proposed that they should eliminate personal belief exemption because their perspective is that it's irresponsible and dangerous not to vaccinate.
Despite all the evidence out there of not only the preservatives, but the DNA adducts and the various types of genetic materials from foreign species and the mutated human cell lines that are in these vaccines, that is our own right to say what goes into your body, what goes into our body, that should be taken away. Thomas Jefferson said over 250 years ago, when a people allow a government to dictate the foods that they put in their mouths and the medicines they take into their bodies, their souls will soon be in the same sorry state as those who live under tyranny.
Mm.
That's exactly what we're experiencing right now.
Well, it's a strange irony that the medical tyranny is something that has been as brutal as anything to weaken the physiology, the emotional state, the consciousness of the people through vaccination, in fact. And I yesterday on my Sunday show on GCN, Dr. Bitar, I interviewed Tim Boland with another follow-up. He's released part four of his report on danger, the CDC knowing how dangerous vaccines are and the cover-up involved there as well. And this is something that is, you know, another is going to really ramp up their desperation. So we're going to probably see more brutal propaganda campaigns and even, you know, mandates where we're going to have to see some serious civil disobedience to stop these things from happening.
I think it's the writing's on the wall. I don't think it's already happening. I mean, just say that it'll probably happen. I think it's already happening. We see it with the Tea Party, you see it with the Mothers with Raw Milk, you see it pretty much, you know, with the Occupy Wall Street. It's not on the health, not just on the health agenda, it's in every aspect. So it is interesting, and it becomes even more of an exciting time to be alive and witness this and watch it and sometimes even participate in it, as you did.
Yeah, and Dr. Bitar, I actually went on the air yesterday and I called for all medical doctors, you know, to turn in their licenses. I said, you know, reject the entire paradigm. What are they going to do, arrest everybody? I've met some doctors that have turned in their licenses. Now they're, quote unquote, not practicing medicine, but they have opened kind of holistic health consultations, right? And they're fully, you know, full-on doctors, board certified, whatever, and they got so fed up with them. I mean, these are the first adopters, and it's really, I know what when I say that, I kind of elicit a pretty powerful response. People are like, what? What are you kidding? It's like, but we've got to stop asking for permission where none is required. I mean, if we believe healing is a birthright, and if we know how to heal, it isn't that we enter into fraudulent relationships. We don't pretend to be something that we're not. But do we really need this licensure concept, which really, you know, basically limits competition as opposed to establishing legitimacy of a doctor, for instance?
Well, I agree with you. In fact, I have, as you know, tried to leave medicine a number of times, but the higher power re-diverts me back to what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, what's interesting is that when I went through my battle, that's when I had that realization, and it hit me 10 o'clock at one night driving with my wife, coming back from the office to the house. We had to pick up some stuff, and I started laughing, and she said, what are you laughing about? And I said, I just realized something. And she said, what? And I said, they don't have any power over me at all. The only power they have is whatever I allow them to have, is anything that I allow them or give them to have over me. Otherwise, they don't have any power, because the threat of losing your license, let's put it this way, they can't take your name, they can't take your degree, they can't take your knowledge, they can't take your ability to help people. And certainly where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, I started thinking about this, that, well, what's the worst thing they could ever do? They could kill me. Well, then I become a martyr, and then that would actually backfire for them. So that wouldn't, you know, that's probably not something that's going to happen. What's the next worst thing they can do? They can take my license. Well, how many clinics are there in the United States, or actually worldwide, that would want me to consult for them?
Would welcome you with open arms and go, wow, Dr. Bitar, so glad to see you. Come on over.
But, well, exactly. I've actually had two countries that have offered to actually – the governments are two countries, small countries that have offered to set us up with our own clinic and do all – you know, whatever we need to provide healthcare, not only for their population, but more importantly, they're interested in the concept of medical tourism and bringing people from outside their countries into the country to increase revenue for themselves. So they're looking at it from an economic reason, but again, they've expressed an interest. I started thinking about this. They can't do anything. The problem was, I don't want to be run out of any state. I mean, to me, it's like, sure, there's bigger and better options out there for me, but if I leave, I want to leave on my own terms when I choose to do it,
right,
how I choose to do it. Not because these bastards try to run me out.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Bitar.
So that's the reason. That was the reason that I fought, and you know, of course, I'm glad I did.
Yes.
And I would, regardless of how many times this has to happen, you know, I'll do the same thing. But
like the raw milk freedom riders, these moms. I mean, you also have stood your ground to show other doctors that it is possible to beat them. And yet at the same time, I find it ironic because you don't suffer fools and you don't, you know, you're not a guy that likes to be enslaved to anyone, anything, and much less even a thought form. And yet we know how horrible the licensure aspect is, because it's literally, imagine if they took away your license, you'd actually be much freer. Not, you know what I'm saying, but leaving on your own terms, as I understand that too. But, you know, that whole thing is a slave system mentality.
Oh, without a doubt, the whole system was set up that way. And, you know, I mean, if I had lost my license, which I knew that it was going to be one of those type of things, you take it to the extreme, they're not willing to handle it. I mean, they knew that as soon as it started getting too much publicity. In fact, even the press release after this entire 3.5 year battle happened, the Citizens for Carolinians for Healthcare Access. It used to be called Citizens for Healthcare Access in North Carolina, but now it's called North Carolinians for Healthcare Access. The president of that organization, Ray Fisher, put out a press release, and that press release is all about how we won against the North Carolina Medical Board. And do you know that you cannot find that press release? PR Web. You can't find that press release anywhere. You enter my name in PR Web's search engine, there's about 25 different press releases that pop up. But that one press release is conspicuously absent. So we had a copy of it, and we've put it up, actually linked it to our website and to drbitartruth.org, so people can actually read that website, but web page. But PR Web, one of the most well-known press release firms in the world, took that off. This is the long reach of the medical boards and the FDA and the Federation of State Medical Boards, the Federal Trade Commission, all these different regulatory bodies that have something to lose. This is the long reach of the arm that they have, that they can go in and actually snap a segment of information right out. In fact, Desiree Jennings' story, same type of thing. AOL had it up on their homepage, and then all of a sudden it disappeared. You couldn't find it. You couldn't go in anywhere and do any search engine. You couldn't find it even in the websites that had the old archives of previous pages of the websites. You couldn't find it anywhere. They can go in and literally eradicate a piece of information if they want. And we had to capture that information from original PDFs that have been created and then re-put it back up. And that's the only semblance of that information that's out there now, because every other trace of that information had been wiped out.
Mm. You know, it's amazing how many times we've been involved in things that are global changers, you know, whether it be in medicine, vaccination, or otherwise. Last hour, Dr. Nick was talking about he's finally releasing his next book about the study that was done at Columbia through the NCI, you know, his cancer protocol for pancreatic cancer and how they sabotaged it. I mean, they literally sent the people from Uganda, the HIVnet trial, which was a horrific, horrific trial of nevirapine. You know, they were trying to eliminate HIV, let's say, transmission from mother to child. And they killed women and children. And so rather than, you know, arresting these people for murder, they basically transferred all of them pretty much onto Dr. Nick Gonzalez's test trial in Columbia University. And it's a sordid tale of criminality and cover-up. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, if it weren't for the new media, what we're doing here, Dr. Bitar, people would never hear of it.
I did not know that about Nick's study.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing because I had warned him about it, and he was talking about it. He says, I'm featured in his book because of it. I was like, I'm honored, Dr. Nick. I mean, but literally, that's what we talk about investigative journalism, that is, a lost or dying art. But it's on the way back with the new media. That's what, you know, Mike Adams is doing, and that's what we're doing here every week on Advanced Medicine Monday. By the way, check it out. I've got all the links up, including the 9 steps to keep the doctor away. If you haven't picked up that book, medicalrewind.com has a lot of great videos you can watch. And, of course, when we come back, we're going to be covering some more powerful healing topics on Advanced Medicine Monday here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Rashid Bitar.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones and any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you?
Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth!
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive, it's alive, it's alive!
The masked man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Yes, RSB is on injured reserve today, and Dr. Bitar is carrying the load very capably and ably. Thank you so much, Dr. Bitar. You know how much I enjoy every week when we get together like this.
Well, it's always a pleasure on my side as well, so it's mutual.
Well, we have another story. You mentioned Ron Paul earlier. It's hard for me to go out one show without mentioning the guy because he's such an amazing guy for what he's been willing to stand up and become a pariah to the old media and the old ways. Yet there's a word that, and we talk about controlling the media, the spin, and you watch all the pundits, and you know they can't totally ignore Ron Paul. It would be too obvious, but they kind of throw it out. But then they, you know, when they talk about other candidates, they don't bring him up unless they absolutely have to. Now, a story came out in the news today about Ron Paul's foreign policy perspective. And this is off of ABC News. So this is an old media, mainstream media outlet. And they say foreign policy experts agree with Ron Paul's what they call a controversial foreign policy, which shouldn't be controversial. Is like, well, how about bringing the troops home? How about stop stationing troops in 150 nations around the world? How about stop with the nation building? And how about, you know, utilize the military for its constitutionally, enumerated, let's say, obvious should be to protect the nation instead of going around protect the borders of foreign lands?
And you would think that everything that you just said, I mean, this is just a logical thought process that any leader of any country would have, and yet we're violating every one of those components, every single one of those logical things that you would think that, you take care of what's yours and don't worry about other people's problems. You first, what's that adage, Robert? Those that live in glass houses don't throw stones or something like
that?
Yeah,
please. Yeah. If you live in a glass house, not a good idea to throw the first stone.
And exactly, that's exactly what we're doing. We've been doing as a nation.
Yeah, exactly. And then we wonder why we are in trouble, much less, you know, economically. Again, if we talk in terms of the immune system, if we literally have our immune system on 100% of the time, we are going to exhaust ourselves to the point of perishing. And that is economically what we've done in many ways. But the foreign policy has certainly contributed greatly to the bankruptcy, if you will, of the nation.
I think that's the reason that Ron Paul speaks to you and me personally so well, because the application of that thought process is not only relevant to the political situation, the government situation, but it's actually can be superimposed on any aspect of life, on health, on wellness, on, you know, medicine, on food, on decision, I mean, everything. It's the same thing. You just made a great analogy between foreign policy and the immune system. It's the same type of it's a logical thought process. That's how we should take care of what's within ourselves. We should make sure that what we put inside ourselves is good and clean and not toxic and not something that's detrimental to us. And we should make sure that we take care of our families, because that's the extension of our own selves, and then our friends and relatives. But we don't sit here, you know, talking about putting in Doritos inside your mouth and drinking beer and drinking Coca-Cola and whatever other crap that, you know, people do to hurt themselves, and then try to dictate in the other country that people should be improving their nutritional basis.
Well, yeah, it's much like the doctors that in days past used to promote smoking as a digestive aid after dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody that's trying, a doctor that's trying to tell you that you need to lose weight and who's morbidly obese himself.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, teaching by living example has always been a much more efficient means by which we can encourage people to do better. You know, it's just like, you know, if we have mentors that teach us, that inspire us, it's not so much because they've written wonderful things, although that could be part of it, but they actually lived a certain way that inspired us, that showed us, hey, you know, there's another way to go here, and I've seen it work. It isn't just a theoretical book that we're picking up. And, you know, as wonderful as it is to put these things in book form, and you have done so extraordinarily, it's based on that, you know, being that living example and helping people in reality. And so I see a lot of what's happening here is moving back to these living examples. Although, you know, some people, unless they're really suffering from terrible cancers, they're not willing to do what it takes to get well. And I wonder still if America has not suffered enough in order to make, you know, the choice of someone like Ron Paul.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point, because there is a self-defeating, self-sabotaging type behavior that humans tend to partake in, pretty much all humans, including myself. And, you know, you sometimes detach yourself and look at it and say, why am I doing this? I know this isn't the right thing to do. And you know, I know that I'm going to have to pay a price for this decision that I'm making. And yet we still sometimes do these detrimental, self-sabotaging things that they talk about in self-improvement courses, you know, the fear of success or the fear of winning or whatever the case is. But coming back to what you said about the example, living life, the real life example, or living life the way it should be lived, and using that as an example, it brings to mind the quote that I know we've talked about before. I believe it was Buddha that said, we should take every opportunity we can to preach and never open our mouths.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one thing, and, you know, in some ways I've got a bully pulpit having a radio show, but I tend to do, if I'm ever a bully, it's to those people who stand in the way of health freedom, right? Whether it be government, corporations, or even doctors who, you know, are like these doctors that are trying to say, well, we need to eliminate personal belief exemptions. I mean, I don't have a lot of tolerance.
You can't be a bully if you're the small guy.
What's that?
You can't be a bully if you're the small guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have the huge conglomerates that are, you know, paying you for advertising dollars and the unrestricted resources that are coming, and you know, you're the small guy on the block, so you can't be the bully.
No, but you know, then you make a choice to say, how do we impact people's lives for the better? And we have to live a certain way. Because there are a lot of people that are really desiring authenticity now. I think that's why we're seeing growth in the new media. They're recognizing it's a message that they haven't heard, and there's something about it. Now, sometimes they can't put their finger on it, but they know there's something very special and different, and they're drawn to it.
It's resonating truth.
Yes, yes. You know, that is truly the energy of truth, how it resonates, it vibrates in a certain way, and when you're ready, It doesn't rub you the wrong way. When those, right, like we talk about, the doctors who don't want to see the truth of the danger of vaccinations, when they hear these truths, they are literally, you know, like petting a cat backwards for them. They don't want to hear it. But those, and I think there are far more of them, whether they be in the medical community or the lay community, are now responding to this message like never before.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. But when you said that, you know, you've got, in some ways, you have a bullying pulpit, I was saying that you can't be the bully when you're the small guy and on the media, and those other people are saying all the things that aren't true and promoting agendas that are detrimental to the masses, you,
right,
there's no possible way that you can consider yourself having a bullying pulpit.
Yeah, I know. I've never was much for bullying.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can have delusions of grandeur once in a while to say, hey, man, you know, cut it out, whatever. But this is the opportunity we have each week with you, Dr. Batar, to do this advanced medicine and discuss these things in ways, again, that nobody really has the opportunity to do in the soundbite culture that we live in, or even in the old media where, you know, you're lucky to get 5-6 minutes of any kind of opportunity to get something out. You have to be so efficient in that regard, and there's so much more that needs to be communicated. And so this is the fun, too, of being here every day and with you every week.
And it's always nice to get feedback when, you know, hear somebody at my clinic or a patient that's a new patient saying, oh, I've been listening to you for the last few months, or I was at a conference in Salt Lake City, Utah back in April, and had a gentleman that came up to me, and it was actually a doctor, and I didn't know who he was, but he said, oh, he made a comment about something as I walked by, kind of grabbed me and made a comment like a, as if I would know who he was, and I didn't know who he was, but it was something based upon the show, oh, the power to heal is yours. I said something, I think that's what he said.
Uh-huh.
And obviously I knew that it was from the show, but you know, and I smiled at him and shook his hand, and he said, I listen to you every week. And it was kind of nice to see something like that, because I mean, I didn't know that, you know, I don't know who this guy was. I later found out he was a doctor. I saw his name tag later on in the conference, but it's nice to see that people are listening. And you know, for a while I thought, Robert's just you and me, until, you know, it's just you and me that doing this exercise for ourselves. And then then when Mike told us that, you know, it's growing by leaps and bounds every week or every month, whatever it was.
Yes.
You know, it's good to hear that it's making a difference for some people.
Well, and it's still is amazing to me how the docs out there have really responded, like we said, resonating with the message. As you said, you know, most of them want to do good, want to be helpful, and are very, you know, can be, you know, understandably depressed about the situation they find themselves in when they become a doctor, and realizing all of their training and the tools that they have been directed in a way that is not life-affirming so much, unless they're in emergency medicine. That's different. But for the things that we'd like to help people do to empower them to heal, as we know the power to heal is yours, that concept, you know, there is something so fulfilling about bringing that power back to the so-called patient, or whatever we want to describe them, that they realize that they absolutely are not, you know, it's not a random act. It's not whether they got lucky or unlucky. It literally is that the power is theirs to you know, make decisions and watch what happens according to those decisions. It's a quite empowering place, but a lot of people that's, you know, if they don't like it, it's sort of like those are the people that want to be victims. And of course, we can't help those people.
Right. That's absolutely true, because then you can't have success if you're, it's almost like trying to plant seeds on a concrete base. You know, mm-hmm. You need to first plow the field and then sow the seed and provide the nutrition, the water, the sunlight, so the seed to be nurtured so that it can grow. But a person that is not willing to plant the seed in the right place, mm-hmm. that you can't help them. And that's part and parcel of realizing who you can help and who you can't help.
Well, back to wrap up the show after this break with Dr. Bitar. I mean, I feel better already between you and Dr. Nick. It's just being around your energies helps me through the adrenal exhaustion that I've been through in the past week. Dr. Bitar, thank you for being here. We're coming right back with more powerful healing to wrap up today's show on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Rasha Bitar. It's Advanced Medicine Monday. More after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Bitar, I understand you just got back from a conference in Orlando, the Bioenergetic Conference. I know Dr. Dan Clark, a good guy, really nice man. And, you know, sometimes I can go more directly into the energetic realm, but still a lot of people have trouble really understanding that ultimately where medicine is going is into energy. What kind of things were happening? I know you presented there. Give me an assessment of your experience.
Well, it's a great conference. Dr. Lee Cowden and Dan Clark put the conference on, and it's the 14th one, I believe, 14th annual one. So this is they've been doing it for 14 years. And the lecture I gave the theme of this conference was cardiovascular disease, and there was a lot of good information, everything from grounding and other aspects that were relevant for cardiovascular disease. They asked me to give a lecture on a review of the importance of heavy metal toxicity and addressing it in cardiovascular disease. And so, you know, how is that relevant to bioenergetics? Well, essentially the toxicity aspect, and I'll just kind of, this is something I think is important for everybody to hear, but it was very well received and resonated well with the doctors that were in attendance there. And that is that the toxicity aspect of the heavy metals, one, it's an endemic issue. It's throughout the world. It's something that is never given enough importance. In fact, the DVD, Know Your Options, the ones on heavy metals, we named it the heavy metal toxicity, the hidden killer, because I do believe it is probably the greatest source, one of the greatest sources of death in the world. And when you look at cardiovascular disease and cancer and neurodegenerative disease representing 92% of all causes of all deaths, including war, homicide, suicide, natural disasters, all chronic diseases put together, according to the World Health Organization, 92% of causes of all death are heart disease, cancer, and neurodegenerative disease. And then you look at how heavy metals plays a role in all three of those pathologies. In fact, in all pathophysiology, heavy metal toxicity is probably the one common denominator everywhere. And the point that I made was that unless you're addressing heavy metal toxicity in cardiovascular disease or in all chronic disease, and I gave examples and showed videos of cancer patients, so autism patients, stroke patients, heart disease patients, that unless you're addressing this one component, I'm not saying that it's going to solve all the problems, but it's certainly important to take care of this one major issue. You could make an analogy that it may not be the engine, but certainly if you don't have wheels or a steering wheel for a car, you're not going to go very far. You're not going to be able to do much. And so the heavy metals, I personally believe it is kind of like the engine itself, that if you throw heavy metals into a body, it's causing the engine to basically shut down. But then the bioenergetic aspect of this, not only are you causing toxicity, which is increasing the oxidative stress that is the common pathology for all chronic disease, but it's also the energetic demise that you're creating, because these metals, not only is it oxidative in injury, they also displace the essential minerals. And by displacing the essential minerals, you now take away the ability of the engine to function. So bioenergetically, you're actually dropping the potential of the system to be able to function. And if you look at this from a quantum physics standpoint, zero point is the most efficient place that we want to achieve. Zero point is defined by maximum output with minimum expenditure of energy, which is what we as a biological system strive to be. We want to put out the most that we possibly can with minimum expenditure of energy. And ideally, if you can hit zero point, then that's it's a utopian concept, but we're closer and closer coming to that efficiency when you look at silicone chips or microchips for computers and such, you know, becoming smaller and smaller and yet becoming more faster and becoming more efficient. So the biology of the system is also the physiological response that we want to achieve is also that same type of zero point level of functioning where we are maximizing our output, minimizing our expenditure. And so when you have heavy metals in the system, you are actually going the opposite way. You're reducing output and you're maximizing your expenditure of energy, and it's almost like having a trailer that you're pulling.
Yes, behind it's a truck. Like a heavy metal anchor tied to your leg or legs. And
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I've talked about it in terms of, you know, if we talk in terms of energy for that bioenergetic conference, it's literally the most efficient means by which you can lower consciousness, limit a person's ability to be, you know, everything that they are designed to be, is by increasing the heavy metal burden within the body.
That's exactly right.
Well, I would encourage everybody, if they haven't already, again, to pick up the best-selling book, 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, because you go into this, incredibly extensively, as well as in a way that everybody can understand and access.
Well, it has the book has achieved a level of accomplishment that I never imagined the book would, and you know, especially when we find out that we became an international bestseller, that was a real nice thing. I've seen these books where they say, you know, translated into different languages, and kind of knowing that my book's now being translated into 5 different languages, that's
yes, and it's
humbling.
Still growing. It's not even reached where it's going to reach, and we'll keep that going out. Dr. Bitar, thanks for carrying the load today. Also, thanks to Dr. Nick Gonzalez. You guys are awesome, and appreciate you very much. And look forward, obviously, you know, the next Advanced Medicine Monday. It's a lot of fun. And, wow, we got some great stuff out once again today.
Absolutely. It's a really, really some good story, especially that one with the Duke Ethics Committee thing. That's just absolutely preposterous. But I'm glad it's coming out, because it allows people to see where the problem lies in the policymakers.
Check it all out. All the links are up at robertscottbell.com, leading to Dr. Bitar's many websites, as well as the videos that you can download. And if you have any questions ever, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. All I'm left to do, besides saying again thanks to Dr. Bitar, is to remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott,
the
Bell,
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
So raise your glass if you are wrong, and not the right ways all night.
Scott Bell Show.